What's up? Welcome to another episode of Bitches Love Sports. I'm Bitch 2, and I'm here with the rest of our conversation with Tifa Noxhard, founder of the California Derby Galaxy, aka CDG, or The Coalition. The Coalition is a kind of consortium, if you will, of seven roller derby leagues in the Bay Area that are working together to share resources, host competitions, and improve access to the sport of flat track roller derby. At the end of part one, we left off just as Knox was about to tell us about the involvement of the WFTDA in helping the coalition get started. Now, we know the WFTDA has taken a lot of heat this year, but this is one thing that several people working with the WFTDA have done to help launch an alliance of leagues that could end up improving the structure of flat track roller derby in very tangible ways if it's successful and can be duplicated. So at the end of the episode, we mention how and why to communicate with the WFTDA through the channels they have available. Now, it's no secret that they've limited the feedback they receive through social media, but for those who have thoughts that are worth outlining in an email or expressing to a league rep, there are still channels through which your voice can be heard and you can be a part of shaping the future of our sport. So before we get back into the conversation, I just want to quickly remind everyone that one of the best ways to see positive changes come about for the roller derby community is to ensure that initiatives like the California Derby Galaxy have the resources they need in order to be successful. So, if you're listening, find them on Instagram at california.derby.galaxy, click on the link in their bio, and buy some merch. And if you're in the Bay Area, there are local shops you can visit to make purchases directly that will benefit CDG. And also, be sure you catch some bouts in the spring. So now, without further ado, here's part two of Bitches Love the California Derby Galaxy. Now, speaking of For the Skater by the Skater, I want to talk about the role that the WFTDA played in helping this come to fruition.
Oh, sure.
Because I know there, like, even besides yourself, there were a few other people who worked closely with the WFTDA on that call. And they've done a few things, you know, besides just, you know, approving your permission to have that one charter team from the coalition. It sounds like they've done a few things along the way to help bring this into existence. So talk a little bit about the role the WFTDA has played and what you guys had to do to get them on board and get that relationship going.
Yeah, for sure. I will say, at least to answer that last part of your question first, I was a bit lucky in that my role with Jewish Roller Derby gave me a little bit of access to WFTDA leadership even before I became a board member. I only became a board member this year. So that was after we started all of the CDG prep work. But really what I did was just email the staff at WFTDA and was like, hey, we have this idea. Like, what do you think is viable? Do you have any, like, so could we do it? Would you tell us no? Like, should we not even try? And Bones, who was on that call, actually, and Dottie Damage, who doesn't work for the WFTDA anymore, but did at the beginning, the two of them were our biggest advocates internally. They set us up for so much success. They connected us with the folks that run Brit Champs, which I know is going to have a new name soon, but historically known as Brit Champs. So basically, this a very similar model to what we're doing, where they don't have a shared charter, but they do all of this scheduling and resource sharing for teams in the UK to play each other and not have to do all of this logistical lifting on their own. And they did a ton of research, at which they're happy to share as well to anybody that asks about the cost savings, the logistics savings, just the overall scheduling. They sent us amazing examples of how they built brackets, how they set up tournaments, how they figured out who was going to play where and how, like, the amount of, and they've done it for years. So the amount of work that they have done that, frankly, as a US-based league, I had no idea about, really was kind of amazing and helped us build a lot of the foundations that we did and helped us really come up with a lot of the narrative around, here are points of proof as to the things that we're saying are could be goals. Like, oh yeah, we could reduce the cost or we could reduce this. We're able to say, like, Brit Champs did this and this is how much money they saved, or this is how much time they saved, or this is how much time you typically need to run a double header or a triple header, and this is why it's advantageous to do so. So WFTDA really helped us build those relationships. Additionally, they reviewed all the documentation originally that we asked for. They were our, like, listening session for a practice pitch meeting. They, like, sat there and gave us feedback. Anytime we ask them a question, they're always willing to talk about something. I don't want to be like, rah, rah, WFTDA, like, you're a board member. Like, great.
Hey, you're on the board,
but, so. Yeah, I know. So, but I wasn't at the time. So what's interesting, especially now, like this is maybe my little marketing pitch for Talk to the Board. Similar to how individual leagues, I think we're more open to this coalition concept because of COVID-19, WFTDA is really looking at what the hell they're doing and what we've been doing and how to make it better. So when CDG leadership reached out to them and said like, hey, you know, can we include leagues that are not WFTDA? What about track size? Like, what if we have a space that's kind of off by a couple inches? Like, what do we do for that? What if we have 75 people that all want to be on our charter? Can we have two charters? What does that mean? They were kind of like, tell us what you want to do and we'll probably say yes. So like, obviously there are some things that are safety related, like track size and safety requirements are in some ways non-negotiable, but within reason, they're like, let us know what you need. And like, we'll go to insurance and see if we can find a way to grant an exception or a variance for a couple of inches here or there. Yeah. Or, hey, if y'all need to do this shared charter thing and one of the leagues will only join if they can also keep their old charter, fine, totally cool. You just can't dual roster the skaters, but you can have charters that maybe we drew a diagram. So like basically California Derby Galaxy has their charter. Santa Cruz is over here as a league. So all of their members. So some of their members are part of the CDG charter. And then maybe some of them are part of a Santa Cruz charter too, but the, those two don't overlap, the two charters. So they were really willing to work with us and say, how do we make Derby work for you? And we'll just do it.
So if you have a person that is part of both charters, right? And whenever it comes to competitive play, how do you decide where that person is going to play?
Yeah. So they can't be part of both charters. Me as a skater at Santa Cruz, I have to pick. If Santa Cruz decides to have their own charter, I can either be a member, I can try out for both, but I can only skate on one.
Okay.
So if I decide I want to skate for just the Santa Cruz Bombshells, I can try out. If I make it, I can skate on the Bombshells. If I want to try out for the Coalition Charter, which is called the Supernovas, I can try out for the Supernovas and I can skate the Supernovas. Yeah. but I can't do both the Bombshells and the Supernovas. But my girlfriend, who's also a Santa Cruz member, she could try out and skate for one and I could try out and skate for another. And we're still both Santa Cruz skaters. She's just a charter skater also at Santa Cruz. And I'm a charter skater for the Coalition. But it's kind of nice because we, like, for me personally, I live really far away from Santa Cruz. I commute an hour and a half in traffic on weeknights to get down there. So
and that for me is terrible.
It stinks. And the drive from where I live near Mountain View down to Santa Cruz is really cruddy. It's just like total parking lot traffic on a mountain road. It's not fun. So for me, like maybe doing the Coalition Charter where we rotate practices and they're on Sundays might be nicer for me, where maybe folks that live in Santa Cruz and they don't want to have to truck it over the hill all the time.
Right.
Maybe it's better for them to skate down there. And again, this goes back to that right level, right commitment type of roller derby, like meet people where they are and make more skating opportunities. And then the sport will grow instead of us being so exclusive and constraining. Let's be more open and inclusive and like provide more opportunities. So
let's say we want to do a coalition too.
Yeah.
Should we reach out to IFTA or can we just?
I don't see why not. You don't have to. I think the point at which you would want to would be if you want to also have a coalition charter in your area, because then they're going to have to add it to like the registration and if you sanctioning comes back and like all of that. But just for the localized play, you don't have to tell anybody. I mean, they'll be excited and super jazzed that you're doing it. But there's no like requirement or anything, unless you're essentially the reason you would want to, if you're creating the charter team, is because you need to is a strong word. If you want to be included in ranking and sanctioning for the WFTDA in the future and in a world where that comes back sometime in the future, who knows? That's where you'd want to let them know. And what's helpful for us, I mean, one of the conversations we had with them was also around what would happen if all of our leagues stopped being WFTDA members, but we still wanted to have that charter. So that was sort of an open question that we haven't really solved yet. Our leagues aren't really interested in leaving the WFTDA. Kind of, again, back to that for the skater, by the skater, they like participating. They like having a voice. They like voting and understanding policies. So that was a conversation just transparently that we had with them, where we were like, hey, we have 2 USARS leagues, but we have 5 WFTDA leagues. So is that okay? And they're like,
can you still be part of the coalition even if you're not part of any other league?
So that's a good question. And we get that a lot. So right now the answer is no, mostly no. I'll explain. Mostly no, because the coalition is not equipped with basically like staffing infrastructure to manage like dues and insurance for individual skaters like that. We're not taking money from anyone. Like no one pays the coalition anything. So we don't really have the ability to like monitor those skaters and make sure everyone is safe and healthy. Yeah. And the other concern is if we did that and that population grew larger than the folks that are in leagues, there's no one really supporting those leagues. And the leagues are what supports the bout production and all of the practice space and all that. So we didn't want to open that up. Yeah. Maybe someday if we get large enough with all of the leagues that we feel confident that the other group wouldn't grow too large.
You can support those people. Yeah.
Yeah. But that said, we haven't put this in the folder yet, but we will soon. We just approved 2 new policies in the leadership group. One is around how we're going to handle our equity programs for 2022, which I'm really, really excited about. It's a lot about financial equity for this coming year and also how to handle reporting structures, particularly between leagues and at events. So super excited about that. Yeah. But the other one that's relevant is we just agreed basically on a free agent skater policy specifically for games. We have a couple of teams that are quite small and they're worried they won't have enough skaters to basically field a roster. Yeah. And we have a lot of skaters in the area that are interested in just that are retired dirty
satellite.
Yeah. They're like, I would come play a couple games and help.
Yeah.
So we created a way for that to happen. Basically, you have to just be a person that has played roller derby that is not currently affiliated with any league. So, for example, we have those 3 or 4 other leagues in the area that didn't join, their skaters can't participate in this. It would be skaters, maybe someone that just moved here or maybe someone that retired or has just, you know, been hanging around and like isn't a member of a league. They can, it's very simple. Basically, they can just fill out a little form. It's like, hey, who are you? How long have you played derby? When are you available to play? I think we ask about COVID vaccination and maybe if you have active health insurance or something to that effect. But that's really it. And then when leagues need skaters to fill out their roster, they can reach out to someone and say, hey, yeah, we've got a game in 4 weeks. If you can come to 3 practices, we'd love to have you like step in and skate with us. We could use a couple blockers. So yeah, then they go on the roster that gets submitted to the other team. Everything gets approved and they can instead of having 7 skaters, they can have 10 or 11. And then, you know, people get to play both that miss derby and also they get to bring their friends and family and maybe sell some more tickets to those folks. And then the 7 or 8 skaters on that team that were going to be totally pooped out and maybe getting dangerous because they're so tired, have some friends that can help them out and like have a good game.
That's a good point.
Nice. So all that information is going to eventually be added to the public folder.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously,
okay. Yeah.
Very transparently, it should have been on there. We approved it a couple of weeks ago, but I don't think it is yet.
All right. So since you brought up the financial equity piece, I want to talk a little bit about what was mentioned in the plan about financial equity. There were different things as far as like ways to support officials and to support coaches with things like training. And also there were some things about basically helping underrepresented groups with their dues and with equipment costs. I'm not sure if any of that has changed since you originally proposed everything, but can you speak a little bit to one, how those programs work and also why they're important?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm opening up the final draft of the policy right now so I can tell you exactly what we decided on. So the policy ended up being almost as long as our handbook. It's 6 pages, but it includes a lot. It includes just the overall sort of concept of equity policy and programming and why we think it matters. It's got report. The first thing we talk about is just reporting policies. Like what happens to, like, how do you articulate to someone if something that shouldn't have happened happens? One of the biggest things that folks were worried about in bringing so many leagues together is how do we handle this sort of thing? What happens if, you know, someone says something disparaging to me at a practice where it's not my own league? How do I know who to go to? How do I know where is the safe place? So that's one of the first things on there. Then we talk about events, overall programming, specifically on the equity side. So this is where we kind of start getting into the financial equity stuff. There's an example application in here. So again, folks can take this and make a copy of it if they want to use it. It's very short. It's, hey, who are you? What is interesting about you as a person that makes you feel like equity programming and equity sponsorship would be relevant for you? Sort of what are your intersections? Or what are the groups that you consider yourself to be a part of? Those don't necessarily qualify or disqualify you. It's more just for informational purposes when we're reporting out on the program. Like, hey, yes, we have 20% Jewish people that applied for this and 16% single moms that were looking for funding and, you know, whatever other 20% queer folks, like whatever sort of group makes sense. And then we essentially are doing this as an annual application. So there are four categories for financials that you can use the funding for. Depending on how much funding is available that year, we'll let folks know like, hey, everyone's getting a grant of $200. And you can use that $200 within these four categories over the course of the year. And the categories are payment of your league's dues, and there's a cap of $75 a month. We don't actually have any leagues that are higher than that. Purchase of jerseys, either for your league or if you're participating in the CDG charter, you can purchase those jerseys as well. Individual gear reimbursement. So if you need new wheels or a new set of skates or a mouth guard, whatever you need, you can use some of the money for that. And then the last one is specifically around traveling costs. So whether that's, hey, I'm on a charter and I need to book a flight to Arizona, or, hey, I have to drive to practice and that's actually really cost prohibitive for me, so I need to request mileage reimbursement. That's actually our largest category, aside from the league dues. Just so folks can get to practice and kind of alleviate those different barriers. So those are the four categories we're starting out with this year. And this is not just for skaters. This is for coaches and officials as well. So anyone in any of those three categories can apply for the equity funding. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's your first crack at it.
I mean, it's great for a first crack at it. Like, I think you guys are doing awesome. And I really appreciate y'all for making all this information available, because also in the same book, I'm sorry, I love this book. It's called The Four Disciplines of Execution, by the way, for anybody who's listening. And it's like, what is this book she keeps referring to? But one of the things they talk about is that with a lot of leaders, the strategy comes easy. It's like, we can come up with ideas and think about this would be a good way to do things, but it's that execution. And a lot of that has to do with, like, one, execution requires access to a certain amount of information. And two, execution often requires a change in behavior, which is the mistake that I think a lot of leaders in any industry make, but especially something that I see in roller derby, where it's like that idea that, like, oh, if we just put this idea out there and leadership knows that this is how we need to move forward, membership will be so enthusiastic that they'll just hop on board. And there's not a lot of consideration taken concerning what actually goes into getting people to change their behavior to get them to actually execute things. So considering the coalition to be kind of like a leadership in the resurgence of flat track roller derby, I think this is a great way to help individual leagues with the execution. Because, you know, one of the questions I would normally ask you at this point is, what advice would you give a league or leadership of a league who's thinking about doing this? My first piece of advice would be, read the folder, read everything in the folder. So that would be my first thing, you know. But considering that, what do you think the next piece of advice to those people would be?
Just try something. If you watch that recording of the pitch meeting, at the end of it, there's kind of like everyone's debriefing and thanking each other. And it's like very like everyone's patting each other on the back. But this one skater who I used to skate with when I was at Bay Area said something that really like shook me. They said, proposing things that are different is really hard. So thank you for trying, even if this doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I would say, right? Like it's funny. My girlfriend is very much the introspective one and I'm very much like the outspoken one. And I'm the one that talks at the meetings and all this other stuff. And she's like, I don't know how you do it. And I'm like, I am so nervous every time I have to talk to anyone. I'm horrified to send an email. I had to send an email. We're like working on scheduling for the Supernovas team. And I'm like sending out emails to like these people that I don't know. And I sit there and I read them like 100 times and I'm so nervous. And I'm like, what are they going to say? Do I sound nice enough? Like, whoa, okay. But like, if people don't try, if you don't speak up, if you don't give it a chance, it's not going to happen. Like,
right.
My mom is not coming down to do this. Like, it's not like I'm 34. My mom is not coming to do this for me. Like, I have to do it. If I want to see roller derby happen and not like become a distant memory when I'm 67 and like wanting to watch derby somewhere, like I don't want to have to like look at my downloaded old Facebook photos that I see. It's not a thing anymore.
The archives.
I want to be able to go to a game and like see people playing and like see what it's become. And I'm not saying everyone needs to like be this like beacon of change. But say something, speak up, say, hey, what if we looked at this folder? What if we tried talking to people? What if we just reached out to the other league that we haven't talked to in 7 years and no one that's here remembers even why, except they're mean? Like, like find a little piece of something and figure it out and just try something. Take that big problem and break it down into something small. And try doing one of those small things. Like that's how I started doing this. Like I reached, I mentioned there's three other authors. There's E-Rex, there's BB Basher, and there's Cinnabar, all who have been skaters in the Bay Area in the past few years. And I reached out to Cinnabar about this. And I said to her, like, I have this weird idea. And I always like hedge. I'm like, this is this wild thing.
You sound like her.
No, but that's good, right? So I was like, I don't know, this might be totally off the wall. And I told her, she's like, no, that's a great idea. But like, I was just sitting on it for months. We could have been this far along months ago, but I sat on it for a really long time. But it takes time to like get that moxie up to like sometimes get over that hump and be like, okay, yeah, I can talk to someone about this. Like find your safe person. Maybe the safe person is your mom. Talk to your mom about your weird roller derby idea. Be like, mom, I just want to talk about this. Practice saying the stuff out loud. It gets less scary if you talk to your puppy, like your goldfish. Like literally, it sounds ridiculous. But it just, for me, getting started talking about something really helps. And then once I'm done talking to my like safe people, then I feel comfortable sending that email to that interleague person at another place or writing this pitch presentation or, I don't know, reaching out to folks that do marketing professionally, being like, hey, I'm working on this thing. Like, do you have a nonprofit price? Like, all these things are super scary, but that's what By the Skater for the Skater is about. It's about us not only doing stuff for ourselves, but building these awesome skills that serve us outside of derby too. I do this sort of stuff for work, right? Like I'm a product manager in my non-roller derby life. I have to present all the time and they serve each other, right? Like being able to be a leader in derby and on the track really helps me feel super comfortable and confident as I'm doing things at work. And then I steal some of those skills, like how to build a pretty presentation, and I bring it over to derby too.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that you mentioned all that because I think there are so many people who have a good idea, but they look at other people who have presented good ideas and they don't see themselves in that person for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, that person is confident or they have skills that I don't have. And they don't, I think sometimes we glorify the doers so much and we glorify the leaders so much that it kind of gets lost how human mm-hmm. people who accomplish these great things really are, that sometimes they didn't have the skills that, you know, they bought that PowerPoint template or.
I did not make that PowerPoint template.
Right. Or, you know, they had helpers with the document or they had to give that speech 5 times to their puppy or brick wall or whatever before they had the courage to say it in person to a group of people. And it's like, I just love to remind people that like, yeah, you know, if you have the idea, you have to be the one to just have the courage to just start. And then you'll get people on your team who support you and who support the idea. And that'll help give you strength. I've been trying to help people start back skating as leagues in the area are having, they're taking their time with getting like the logistics side set up. Right. But to me, like the skill side is also important, but it's like, even that like makes me nervous.
Oh my God. I just hate coaching. It makes me so anxious. I've been helping lead these charter practices. And I said to the skaters after the first one, I was like, oh, that was my first practice ever. That was like so stressful. And they're like, what? I don't know. I just never did it before.
So how, I might make this our last question because this is probably going to be literally our longest episode ever. But one of the things that can make a person nervous when executing something like this is the fact that, like, when you are the executor, and especially if you've executed ideas before, you know that the first iteration might not go perfectly. It might not even go well. How do you get people to buy in and be patient, knowing that it might take some time and some different additions and some changes before you get it anything close to right?
It's really hard. And this is a perfect example of stuff I have to do at work and stuff I have to do in Derby. Like, this is literally my job at work, is like consensus building. And in Derby, and particularly in the context of this coalition project, what I really did was I started with a small group of folks that I trusted. And I trusted, not just trusted them to be kind, but also trusted them to challenge me in a way. Yeah, right? Because if I just brought together like my three best friends, which I love BB and Senna and Rex, they are not my absolute three best friends in the entire roller derby universe, but there are three folks that I trust their integrity and I trust their ability to say, hey, I don't agree with you and here's why. Not, hey, I don't agree with you and you suck. Like, you want that first group. I mean, you can still suck and your friends can tell you when you suck. But when you're building this sort of thing, you want to find those people, even if it's one person that's not directly in the group you're going to be presenting this to or working with later. When you're building ideas, it's super hard to build something that is bulletproof alone, because you need people that are creative and diverse to poke holes in what you're doing. And this is honestly one of the hardest things for me, because like I write something and I'm like, I read it over and I'm so proud of it. And then at work in particular, in Derby, for some reason, I'm less anxious about this, but at work, I'm like, oh, if someone comes up with something that they question, maybe it means I didn't do a good job. And like, I just attended a talk about this recently where it's like, if you can work on disconnecting your own self-worth from the work product that you produce, it makes your work better, because you don't get so defensive about, oh my gosh, I wrote this. And if Lethal asks me a question about it, Lethal's saying that she's questioning my work, or she's questioning my worth as a person that wrote this thing. And if you can kind of step away from that, which is really, really hard, and say, hey, these are people that I trust that I'm working with to make this better and to make this a stronger thing, whatever it is, whether it's, hey, we're writing a practice plan, or hey, we're building a whole coalition or the competitive structure of roller derby for 2022, you'll be able to bounce ideas off of people and build something that feels really strong. And then whether that's the whole group of people or just a small group, if you're working with a small group, then you'll feel safer kind of going to a bigger group and saying, hey, you know, this is an idea that maybe I had, but I worked on it with these other people. So it's not just, you know, one person's mentality. It's, hey, we've tossed around some ideas. And if you watch that pitch presentation, one of the things we did was we hammered this probably more than we need to of, this is just an idea. This is just a starting point. Yeah. We intentionally didn't solve all of the problems because we wanted everybody to participate. So that was sort of a collaboration and engagement technique that we used, where we only did so much of the work, and then we knew that there were spaces that needed more, but we wanted other people to be a part of it. So I think two things to answer your question. Work with people at the beginning who you trust to challenge you in a constructive way. And then bring more people into the conversation, right? Make people feel like they matter and that their opinions will actually benefit the program that you're working on, however big or small it is. And you're going to be more likely to get people on board. Those are the two things I'd say.
Wonderful. Yes. Wonderful. Well, I know I found it hard to find anything in the plan so far that I would challenge. I mean, there might be something, but it's one of those things that, like, literally everything that I've been saying about Derby for years, it's like, y'all have it covered. I think probably the only thing that isn't in there that, I mean, honestly, is something that plagues any women's sport, or any woman-dominated sport, I should say, and any obscure sport, is just like, long-term, it's like, in a perfect world, I would like to see a world where people don't have to pay to play. But that means getting fans, that means, you know, getting money. And like I always say, no woman-dominated sport has really gotten it right yet, as far as getting the compensation and the coverage that we feel like we deserve.
Right.
One of the fun segments that I'm going to bring in when the WNBA season comes back, because I already saw it this last year, but I didn't do it, is like all the things that get coverage besides a WNBA. Like, like literally today I was watching people like make up scenarios about Michael Jordan versus LeBron James versus Steph Curry. And I'm like, y'all would really rather talk about imaginary shit than talk about real sport.
Yes. It's mind blowing.
So it's like, that's the only thing that I'm still looking for. But I'm just like, I feel like the more people that we have implementing stuff like this, the closer we get to that solution, because one day somebody's going to stumble upon the thing. And then it'll be like that scene from Independence Day. Like, yo, we figured it out. Call everybody.
Seriously. No, I'm like, that's the dream, right? Like some of this stuff is like, hey, we're going to work on lowering overall event costs. That's a stepping stone to hopefully in the future saying, hey, not just lowering event costs, but like, how do we make these events turn a profit? And then how do we use that profit to enable folks to play? Like, what does that mean? What do we prioritize when we have money? Some of the leagues in the coalition had a lot of money and didn't know what to do with it. And now don't anymore, particularly because of the pandemic, right? If you're a very, very, very successful league 15 years ago, you might have made a ton of money, but not really know what to do with it. And it's not that time anymore, right? We're not selling out warehouses of huge seating, maybe arenas someday, but we got to start somewhere, right? We're starting over in a lot of ways. And that kind of goes back to the question you just asked a minute ago of, you know, what should someone do if they're listening to this, right? Find a small problem that you have an idea about how to solve, right? Something little, whether it's, hey, we don't have a marketing person, but this other league has an awesome one and we're going to play them. Hey, maybe ask them if they can do the bout poster and you can kick them back something else. Maybe you can give them some merch when they come, or maybe you can give them some drink tickets or something. Figure out how we can work together instead of working against each other, even if we're competing against each other at the event, you know?
Yeah, but y'all going to go together to the after party anyways. So exactly.
Yeah. And so just one more note for anybody listening. One of the things that was brought up in this presentation was that in order for this plan to work, you would need a minimum of 3 teams. So that's basically saying if you have like 30 people in your area who can skate, pretty much you can find a way to make this work. So I really hope this conversation encourages people to talk to other people in their area who are interested in reviving the sport, keeping the sport going, and supporting each other with resources, financial resources, human resources, whatever. I hope it encourages people to reach out to the WTDA whenever they have an idea or a thought or an issue or a problem.
Yes. You can email me personally. It's fine. You can just email me.
You can just email not.
Email. Where you want people to reach out to your email.
So yeah, for sure. So you can reach out to me for WFTDA stuff at tfennoxhard@wftda.com. For CDG stuff, it's CaliforniaDerbyGalaxy@gmail.com. Or if you just want to look at my awesome pictures from Ireland, my Insta is Doki Doki Dara. So
how do you spell it?
DOKIDOKIDARA.
Awesome.
It's the onomatopoeia for heartbeat in Japanese, if you're wondering.
Oh, I dig it. All right. Well, we might reach out again in a few months and see how things are going, especially, you know, around that time the season is supposed to end, and just see what's up and see how everything went. I hope you have something great to report.
Yeah. Sounds good. Yes. I'll talk to you then.
Yeah. I would love to have you back again.
Yeah. I would love to be here.
So awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah, of course. Thanks, y'all.
Good night, Knox.
Bye. Bye.
She said in the email that she only had up to 2 hours. I was like, no way we're going to talk for that long. But it's been over an hour. I appreciate her for sticking around that long. And, you know, it's like I was saying earlier, you know, every sport from the creation of the sport, if you move forward in the history of that sport, like 2, maybe 3 decades, you see the period of time where things, you know, start to really change.
Right.
And in a lot of other sports, that changes in a way that's based on revenue, because that's when they start getting a lot of investors and a lot of owners who really, really care about making as much money as possible. And in this situation, we have people who care about revenue, but they care about it for the greater good of people who are actually participating in the sport and make up the community.
That's so selfish.
and I think that makes a world of difference in how this is going to play out. Yes. Because, you know, we're still not at a place where we have to rely on some eccentric millionaire or billionaire to come in and try to shape us in the form of what they think roller derby should be, which if you watch a lot of TV and movies, you have an idea of what these people think roller derby should be. And it's not what
it is. And it is not what it is.
It's not what any of us want to see it change into, you know? So yeah. I love that, you know, people like Knox are doing things like this to help us come up with ideas and figure out how to keep the sport alive in various areas.
We wouldn't be here if this bitch one day didn't text me and bitch three like, hey y'all, how do you feel about a sports podcast? We're like, fuck yes, the fuck, of course.
Or even Violet Crown.
Or Violet Crown.
And like the four other people
recording. We were recording. She was like, hey, son. How do you feel about practicing? I'm fuck yeah, you tell me when, where, I'll be there. And like, that's it. Like, but you need that. You need that. Say it and like that, you know.
And my ideas aren't perfect. Like, we're still, you know, changing them, coming up with different ways to implement various things.
Yes.
Like, it sounds like the coalition is still, you know, the jury's still out on certain
things.
Oh, for sure. But things are still going really well. Things do not have to be perfect for you to get a good result. So that's one thing that you got
to
remember.
There's many ways to get to a place.
And also change, especially at this stage in the development of a sport, is completely normal. Yes. If you listen to the interviews that we did with Hydra and the one that we did with Electra Blue,
Hydra
was literally the first president of the WTDA.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some things that they just didn't think about.
Right.
There were some things that they wanted to do that's what they were focused on at the time, that are no longer relevant right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and especially when we talk to Hydra, you kind of get the sense that they kind of just trusted future membership to figure it out and to make the right choices.
Right.
And so just even knowing that, you kind of know, like, one, change is inevitable. They planned for it in the beginning, but also the current leaders of the WTDA inherited something that, you know, for lack of a better phrase, it wasn't all the way thought out. So still figuring it out. I'm not saying that to cast disparagement on the current leadership of the WTDA, they're still figuring it out.
Right.
I'm saying that this is a very young organization.
Fair.
And the world of sports, 15 years, 16 years, is not a long time at all. Even in the world of business, it's not that long.
Yes.
Right? But especially in the world of sports, it's not that long.
Yes.
So the fact that they are still figuring things out is totally expected. And the fact that they're figuring it out and they still manage to keep this organization running on a global level,
yeah,
without the influence of eccentric trillionaires, is actually kind of impressive.
Yes.
Especially doing that through a pandemic.
Yes.
Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I always say, I hear the gripes. I get it. But the fact that the WTDA still exists is kind of impressive.
It's very, to me, like, after 2 years, pretty much, of, like, almost, like, silence and disappearance, kudos to y'all for still withstanding.
Now, a lot of things are going to depend on what happens moving
forward. Right.
But
that's a pivotal moment. We are in a pivotal moment right now. Like, depending what you do, if it doesn't work,
mm-hmm.
it might not work ever again.
But that's even more reason why members and member leagues should be reaching out and be involved in the conversations that are happening. Because it's like Knox said, there are people who are part of the coalition, or leagues, I should say, who are part of the coalition that are USARS leagues, right? And so even that is something that I would like to see.
That was amazing. Oh, there were lots of questions we didn't talk about. I wanted to say something and I forgot even to write down the question. Anyways, to have men or, you know, I was going to ask about users, but she already said it.
That came up in the
meeting. Yeah. And so far it's not, but I guess they also said, like, depending how it grows or, you know, how it goes, they might think about it. But because one of the leagues was a co-ed league. So they were asking about it.
Yeah.
But all of that, like, it's just, if you don't ask those questions, how are you going to know? Like, if you want to be part of it, and you still have, you have to look out for your people too. Like, you cannot just be like, oh, I want to be part of it. Or what about, you know, my best friend that is cis male, but is also non-binary, like, they might not be able to play, you know? Like, all those things have to be brought up, so.
Yeah, and at Team USA tryouts this past weekend, there were a bunch of people there who had never skated or had never bowed it under the USARS rule set at all. including us. Yes. But there were way more people than I expected.
I'm sure 90% of the women trying out had not played.
I don't know about saying 90, but it was definitely like over 50%.
Oh, way over
50%. Like most of the people there.
Because I talked to some of the people trying out that I just assumed that they played USARS, and some of them played main, which is pretty similar, so I'll give you that. But they still didn't play USARS, and a lot of them would just come from WIFTA.
Yeah.
So I was like,
And they're looking for more opportunities to bow. They're looking for opportunities at a higher level. But yes. I bring that up to make the point that whatever area you're in, there might be leagues there who are not with the leagues, but y'all have that common interest of like, we want to keep this sport alive in our area. We want to help everybody.
Or play derby in general. Like,
you know,
you'll come practice together and scrimmage, even if it's, you know, you can do one user scrimmage, you can do one WIFTA scrimmage, but you can still like bring that together and like, the skill, the stops, all of that is the same. So you can still do like skill practices together and, you know, you can still do stuff.
Yeah, there are so many ways that you can cooperate depending on the needs of the people in your area.
Yeah.
So like I said, I hope this encourages people to get involved, to get excited about bringing the sport back and the fact that it doesn't have to come back in the same form that it was in pre-pandemic.
Yes.
Or even if you were having issues before pandemic, you don't have to bring nothing from 2019 into 2022 with you if you don't want to. You know,
it is not a requirement.
Yeah. And as much as people gripe about the WFTDA, and like I keep saying, I get it, I feel you, but you know, as a matter of fact, I'm gonna say, especially if you've been griping about the WFTDA, if you're a member of a WFTDA league, you need to get on those forums.
Yes.
And instead of, you know, waiting for something to happen and being reactive and then making memes and shit, get involved in the process. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes.
I'm like, because it's like the more people that we have, like, let's say your thing is like, I feel like the WFTDA should do more to fund events. Like, okay, if you got some ideas of how to get sponsors for these events, like, bring them to the table.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
And so I don't know if people do that because of, like Knox mentioned, the bystander effect. I don't know if they think the WFTDA doesn't listen, but you know, if you listen to this conversation, then you know, if you email them.
She is on the board now, so.
Yeah.
You'll probably get an email back.
So maybe you, even if you have to go through somebody who already has a connection, there's a way that you can get into the ears of the right people, especially if you have a good idea and you're willing to work on that idea or at least flesh it out. Because I think that's the thing sometimes too. Sometimes people think what they have is an idea and it's actually a complaint. So saying we need better sponsors, that's not an idea.
That's
right. But if you have a method of getting those sponsors, if you have connections,
that's
if you've seen
an
something
idea.
Work and you're like, hey, WFTDA, this is what I've seen work. Let me break it down and see if you can implement that. That's an idea. That's what I'm saying.
But you have to say it. Don't just go to like your bestie or your derby wife or your derby spouse and be like, yo, this and that. Like, no, like email, you know, email your, even if it's your board of directors or the president of your league or whatever, they, or your interleague in the league, in your league, like email them like, hey, I have this, maybe you can, or give me an email address that I can email it to, or you can pitch it to them.
Yeah, those reps have a whole nother board.
Yes, exactly. Like your league, if you're a WIFTA league, you have an interleague rep that they can give you either the address or you can pitch them whatever you need to send them and they can send it to WIFTA.
Right.
So there's ways.
You have options. Now, if your issue was your league,
boy, that's a different story.
So I would definitely say whatever issues you are having, figure out now, is this because of my league or is it because of WFTDA? I think there's a lot of stuff, honestly, especially from the posts that I've been seeing, a lot of stuff is like league shit, honestly.
It's
so
more personal.
So figure out who's responsible
than...
for what and address the right people.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, one thing that like, you know, in the NBA, for example, there's a whole committee in the NBA who makes the schedules for all the teams. But they also only have 32 teams. And each team also had to invest $2.5 billion to be part of the NBA. So they have a well-paid team that does things like make sure that teams are playing the right games at the right time, right?
Yes.
So, and I mean, you know, if you do have $2.5 billion to get to the WFTDA, I'm sure they would appreciate it. And they
all of us would appreciate it.
Right?
Worldwide.
But until we get to that point, the WFTDA doesn't operate exactly something like the NBA, for example, right? So it's like, if it seems like scheduling bouts, like, yeah, you need to go to the elite. Like, if you're like, yeah, I want to start bouting in February and, you know, it's not
happening. Not anymore.
It's like, if your league still hasn't started practicing, that's not, you know, that's either your league or that's the government.
Yes,
you know?
Because since October, is that when
October 1st,
your league was able to practice.
Assuming your local government allows for that.
And I assure you, all sports in your town, your city have been playing, so I can assure you after October 1st, you could start playing practice derby.
Yeah.
So. It's not Wifter's fault anymore, okay?
Bouting practices, league dues, all that, go to your league leadership.
Yes.
But, you know.
And if you have ideas for your league, just pitch them too. Don't go into your derby, wife derby spouse and be like, hey, we need to do this. Like, no, like, pitch it too. Getting leadership.
Yes. But if you go have to leadership meetings. Concerning the sport as a whole, or if you have the idea for a new structure within the sport and you want to remain a part of the WTDA, you know, that's the kind of stuff that you can go to the WTDA about.
Yes.
And it's like, even if you're not sure, if you go to the WTDA and you're like, hey, I want to see this happen, and they're like, that's not on us, they'll tell you.
Yes.
At some point, will just be like,
that's more your league related. Yeah.
So
exactly. Even
if you're not sure, you still have a path.
Yes.
So, yeah, this is a long-ass episode.
Apparently we can talk about this for a long-ass time.
Yeah, this might actually come out in two parts. It might be like Thursday, Friday, because this is a lot.
That was such a great conversation.
Yeah. I hope we continue it. And I'm excited about the sport coming back in various ways. USARS has more members than ever. The people in the WTDA, I don't know where membership is, but the people I've been talking to who are coming back to practicing, they have a lot of good ideas. They're very enthusiastic.
Yes.
People are excited about coaching, bringing new fans to the sport. There's a lot of excitement.
Yes.
So
yes.
I'm excited for 2022 and I can't wait to see what happens.
All right.
You got anything else?
No, I'm...
I slick wanted to talk to you about this shit Jerry Jones said about the wide receivers, but this episode
the
is
fuck did you... No!
We're going to make a separate episode. Okay. Bonus episode. I'm going to stop this broadcast. We're going to make a bonus episode talking about Jerry Jones and him going on the radio talking shit about his own receivers. I was like, what the fuck are you doing, Jerry? I didn't think you would care that much. You know I was mad because, you know, CD is my heart and soul.
That's what I want. It don't matter. It's your own fucking team.
Like, this man got a concussion for you. And you want to get here on the radio?
God, I'm about to play two games the entire fucking season. What?
All right. So I'm going to do a closing here so we can talk about this and separate it into a bonus episode. So if you're listening, this has been another episode of Bitches Love Sports. I'm Bitch 2.
I'm Bitch 1.
And we're out. Catch us on what might be the third episode.
Okay, bye.